I am coming your way live from Italy. Man, there is a lot to talk about. Great meetings here. I'm joined with a colleague who's been on the mission field more than 40 years. Phone lines are open. Let's have a great time today on The Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yeah, it often happens like this. I'm wiped out. I'm tired because we're going day and night, speaking morning, afternoon, evening, and then traveling to another location and doing it the same. But by the time we get to the end, I'm refreshed. I'm renewed. I'm ready to hit a workout or something. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. Had a great time of ministry today in Calabria, Italy, which I mistakenly thought was in Sicily, setting up a Sunday night meeting in Sicily, which only left us with a five-hour drive to our destination, arriving at 3 in the morning before starting meetings the next morning. But what a delight to be with you. Here's a number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. We are 100% live. We will see if we have any delay with phone calls or not with the transmission signal. But I'm joined today, a whole bunch of things to talk to you about, but I am joined today by a dear friend and colleague, Paul Schaefer. We first met in 1987. He and his wife and family have been on the mission field now for 40 years. When I used to go join their team in Italy, and they've got teams in other parts of the world, when I used to join their team in Italy and stay with them for 5 or 6 days, it was real hardship. The way they lived, just roughing it and stuff to make it for a week, that was a great sacrifice for the kingdom of God. For me, I could write back to America and talk about my great sacrifice. They've lived like that for 40 years. So we've got a bunch of things to talk to you about as well. Paul, welcome to The Line of Fire.
Well, thanks, Mike, and greetings to everybody listening.
Yeah, you're from Canada originally.
Yeah, from Canada, from Saskatchewan.
All right, we'll talk some about your testimony, about what God's doing around the world, and a bunch of issues to talk about as well. Oh, there's a delightful article from Timothy Kincaid on Box Turtle Bulletin. I reached out to Timothy some years ago and really sought to interact. And really, if he listened to my interaction, would know my heart, would know my love for those who identify as LGBT, but my deep biblical conviction that I differ with gay activism. He's got a sweet post from, May 27th. It was just sent to me today. So I'm sorry, Timothy, I'm just seeing it today. Michael Brown lies about Irish vote. And he ends by saying, as is becoming more and more the case with anti-gay activists, honesty holds little currency. And it appears to me that Michael Brown has taken the step from truth spinner and fact bender to blatant liar. Then I spotted an article he wrote last year. I guess I never saw it. As from March of last year, where he makes reference to me as the one who for years led a red-shirted mob to protest and harass and cross out witness to attendees at the local gay pride. Timothy, God bless you, buddy. I think you may want to look in the mirror about that truth spinner liar thing. Let the spirit of truth prevail. But I may interact with that in a little while as well. A whole lot of edifying, encouraging things to talk to you about. And the big news. I mean, got President Obama's attention, you know, personal word of commendation and encouragement. Bruce Jenner is now Caitlyn Jenner. Bruce Jenner is still Bruce Jenner. Let's really pray. The good thing is probably more people are praying for Bruce than any time in his lifetime by far. Let's really pray that God would use this both to help us develop compassion for those who struggle with gender confusion and for God to really work redemption in his life. Paul, real quick question for you. You have lived sacrificially for decades. Honestly, if 99.9% of us lived the way you and Julie and your family lived for a week, we'd say, okay, we're kind of done with the mission field. Any regrets after 40 years?
No, none whatsoever.
None whatsoever.
Keep on going.
Still full of life?
We're still full of life. We're still going. And we've applied for Italian citizenship to keep on going here.
All right, awesome. We come back. I want to encourage you that your life can count, whoever you are. And then we'll talk about Bruce Jenner. We'll talk about these issues right here on The Line of Fire. Stay with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
If you have a question for me, anything you'd like to ask, it takes 866-348-7884. But first, because this is my 22nd time to Italy, I want to give you a picture of what God's doing here and what some of the challenges are. And kind of unexpected, I didn't even have it in our announcement for the show today. So Matt, you can have Dylan just update that the interview with Paul Schaefer is part of the broadcast today. But I didn't know I'd have Paul sitting here with me. He's been translating in the meetings and he's translated for me maybe several hundred times over the years in Italy. But I want him to give a picture of what's happening in Italy and in Europe, because he's been here, he's on the field, he's respected by leaders across denominational boundaries. And Paul, in 40 years in Italy, I had heard from a colleague of yours, a dear friend, Clark, that you've worked with all these 40 years, that Italy has been a graveyard of missionaries, a very difficult field. Why is that?
Well, it's the spiritual climate is really difficult to live with and to penetrate. There's nominal Christianity or nominal Catholicism that has, 97% of the population are, technically members of the Catholic Church, but very few, about 5 or 6%, attend Mass regularly, and about 38% go once or twice a year. But they don't adhere to any of the moral standards.
Mm. And then, of course, they think they're Christian.
They think they're Christian.
Right. Okay. They think they're Christian. They don't live like Christians.
But they don't live, and they don't have a belief system.
Got it.
Okay. Then, of course, secular humanism is the great culture of Europe.
Yeah.
which is even probably doing more damage than just, nominal Christianity is doing.
The spirit of the world.
The spirit of the world is very strong here and very evident, as you said today in the message.
Yeah, yeah.
You see it everywhere on the billboards. And then, of course, people coming in to adapt to the language, the culture, to fit into the church, or even to start a new work, they've had a real hard time. And at one point, the statistics were that only 10% of those that came for the first time, the first period of years, would return after their first furlough.
So missionaries would come here, and at one point, after serving their first, say, a few years, 90% would not come back.
Exactly.
All right. Now, how many years of seminary training did you have before you went on the mission field?
I didn't have any training.
How many years of language training did you have before you went on the mission field?
Not in Italian. I speak French because I'm from Canada.
Yeah.
But nothing in Italian.
Okay, so how in the world did you and the team end up on the mission field?
Well, because the Lord called us, He opened our eyes to the needs of the world and also the soon return of Christ, which led us to the conclusion that what we should really do with the rest of our life is to do everything to get as many people saved as possible.
And you came out of a hippie background?
Came out of a hippie background, drugs, immorality, traveling around the world, anti-establishment.
Yeah.
Anti-Vietnam War.
Yeah.
That whole time period in the 60s.
So you understand the saying, if you remember the 60s, you weren't there.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay. So you get saved and you start, traveling through Europe? How many of you?
Well, we got saved in Canada. Who is my wife right now, Julianne. She's French-Canadian. We got saved in Canada, and we came over here to Italy because we heard about this mission group called Christ is the Answer that was started in America and had already come over to Europe.
And they had years and years of seminary training and missions training?
Nobody had any, except for the leader. He had a year and a half of Bible school, but nobody else had any training.
So kind of like backpacking hippies.
Backpacking hippies, yeah, with a goal to bring everybody else to know Jesus.
And you don't need to make long-term plans because?
Because Jesus is going to come back very quickly, and so there's nothing to worry about.
You don't need to worry about raising kids.
No raising kids.
Education.
Exactly, no pension plan.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Because Jesus is coming anyway.
Jesus is coming back very soon.
And that's 40 years ago.
That's 40 years ago.
All right, so you get on the field. How do you support yourself?
By faith, trusting the Lord to provide our needs through any means that He comes up with.
All right, and since then, what system have you come up with?
Nothing more than just faith. And now we're looking at our old age by faith.
Yeah, friends, I've known this team. We worked together since 1987. And this is, there's no joke here. This is, I can't exaggerate. Paul can't exaggerate. So we went through this one time, but when we first got to be with your team in 87, for Nancy and for me, as we both came out of the whole hippie scene as well, there was a bit of a time warp feeling because you guys still used expressions like groovy and far out because you left on the mission field and lived among yourselves.
Exactly.
Okay, so when you – now different team members start to get married, but you don't have to worry about having kids because?
Because Jesus is coming back very soon.
Then you start to have kids.
Yes.
But you're not – how are you going to educate them? You don't have to worry about it.
No, because the Lord will provide.
All right, and Jesus is coming very soon.
Very soon.
All right, so – do you get, like, do you buy a house? Do you get established? What do you do?
Well, no, we didn't buy a house and we didn't get established. The team at that time lived in tents, so we could move quickly from city to city. And then progressively, we started buying old buses and making them into campers. And we used them for several years, for about 25 years. And now we've built what we call containers, lightweight containers, that you can put on a flatbed and carry to the next city.
And what's the team numbered from largest to smallest?
Well, from newborn babies,
yeah,
up to 65 years of age. No, I'm sorry, 72 years of age.
All right. And how many people at the biggest? How many at the smallest?
Biggest in the sum of numbers.
Numbers, yeah, yeah.
We have 20 children, 20 of our children between 0 and 18, and 50 adults.
Okay. And sometimes you've been over 100?
We've got up to 150 in some years ago.
Right. So everybody then lives communally.
Everybody lives communally. We share everything.
All right. And you've lived like this for 40 years.
For 40 years, we've lived like this.
And you've lived in tents for years.
For tents and years, old buses, old trucks, and now into containers.
So tents and during the hot summer in Italy, with maybe down in Sicily, with great air conditioning, right?
No, there was no air conditioning, and we've had days of 52 degrees Celsius.
Yikes. That's hot.
That's hot. It's way over 110.
And in the rain and the mud?
In the rain and the mud, we've just had to keep on going.
All right. And you've lived like this for 40 years?
For 40 years.
And then you've got the shower truck where there are hours where the men can use it and the women can use
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Yeah.
And outhouses and things like that.
Exactly. Well, some of those things now we've had to modify them a bit. We've had to update them a bit. So some of the married couples in their container have their own shower now.
And how big is a container?
A container, I have to give it all in meters.
Yeah. Yeah.
7 meters, 20. By 2 meters 25.
Oh, okay. So 20 something feet by yeah. 6 something feet, maybe something 7 feet, something yeah. like that. Oh, okay. And you've lived like that for 40 years.
Well, in the container, which we consider luxury, that it's only been for the last 17 years.
Okay. But otherwise, a bus for like 25
exactly,
years.
A bus for 25 years. Yeah.
And you raised your family in a bus?
Raised our family, did Christian homeschooling, and my daughter's got a master's, and she's now a missionary with Christian Fellowship International in Cambodia.
And another couple been there all their lives, basically all their adult lives. One of their sons is a doctor.
Exactly, just finishing medicine degree in a university in Rome.
Another's been a professional actor.
Another's a professional actor, and two others in the States have their degrees also.
Amazing, and God just provided this.
And God has provided everything all along the way.
And you traveled with a big tent.
We traveled with a big tent to do evangelistic meetings. Of course, it grew out of the revivalism of North America
yeah.
from the past. And so we took that and then adapted it to evangelism, which was very effective in the 70s, 80s here in Italy.
Yeah, and I preached under that tent many times.
Yeah, you're here.
And the last tent, the big tent that I had the joy of dedicating, where is that now?
So you dedicated 10 years ago just the south of Rome, and now it's in Turkey in a refugee camp for Kurds that have fled from Kobani, where the ISIS was killing and cutting the heads off and whatnot. They fled, and so now we're using that tent to bring the gospel to them and to have cultural activities and teaching.
Amazing. Just amazing. And your team, during the day, you hit the streets.
Every day, morning and afternoon, and when we can in the evening, we hit the streets.
For 40 years.
For 40 years. We keep on going.
7 days a week sometimes?
7 days a week sometimes. Of course, it's good to know that the public can know there in the States. Italy people are still living out in the public, in the open squares, in the streets. They've not abandoned that. You know, it's not shopping center, home and back, you know what I mean? So it's a great opportunity to meet them, talk with them, and establish relationships.
And are some of the leading pastors in Italy today people that got saved under your tent?
Yes, several of the leading pastors, Bible school teachers, songwriters and musicians, other missionaries. Yeah, they all were saved under the tent.
Amazing. And did you have periods of many, many months where You'd be preaching under a tent that seats several thousand with maybe 30 or 50 people there?
Yes, that's been the development in the last 10 years from Rome up into Tuscany.
Because I'd show up and people knew me at that point and the tent would be packed. And
exactly.
I'd think, wonderful. And then I go back home.
As a matter of fact, those are the last good meetings we've had in the last 10 years when you were there in Rome with us.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
But you're still preaching.
But we keep on going.
And now something's happening with Muslims, huh?
Yeah, now there's a major outreach here in Italy because of the boat people coming in. There are about 1.5 million Muslims now. And we, with other organizations, other Christian organizations, are reaching out to them with help, with care, helping with language studies, but also with the gospel. And communities are being set up. Communities are starting in different parts of the nation.
All right, friends. If you want to give your life to God, say, God, here I am, use me. He'll use you. He really, genuinely will use you. Michael Brown coming away live from Calabria, Italy. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Another way of thinking about that is I'm a gender smoothie. Take everything about gender, put it in the blender, press it, mix it up, that's me. And the last category is what I call gender Oreos. And those are children who present one gender on the outside, at they're a different gender on the inside, so they put up a false front, but underneath they know their gender to be other than what people think it is.
Yeah, that is the voice of Diane Ehrensaft, PhD. She's a clinical psychologist. I don't know her at all, and no, that background music was not in the original clip, obviously. It was someone's take. That's how it struck someone in terms of kind of a circus of things. If you can be a gender smoothie, put everything in the gender blender and see what comes out. She may absolutely be one of the most caring women in the world when it comes to people who are gender confused. She may be someone who has sacrificed much time and effort for people who are gender confused. I'm not saying she's an evil person. I don't know her at all. She may be caring. Perhaps she's devoted years and years and years of her life to studying to understand. I simply say this is getting detached from reality. This is saying reality is whatever I imagine it to be. We're not talking about someone whose chromosomes are not fully male or female. We're not talking about someone who biologically is not male or female. We're talking about, in the vast majority of cases, someone who is genetically male or genetically female, who on the inside feels different. And there's not a test to verify this. It's a matter of perception. And rather than trying to help someone from the inside out, we now have a situation in British Columbia where they're discussing on birth certificates removing gender. This is societal madness, friends. Michael Brown coming away live from Calabria. Trust me, Calabria in Italy, there are a million things I would rather talk about. And yet, are we going to ignore the fact that Bruce Jenner is major headlines and that, what is his Twitter account now under the name of Caitlyn Jenner? What's it, the Twitter account, Matt? Was the quickest ever to get more than a million followers, beat President Obama's account? I'm joined here with my friend Paul Schaefer. We're going to go back to talking about other issues and mission field, but Paul, issues of gender identity, issues of gay activism in a conservative and yet very worldly country like Italy, are these issues as well?
Yes, they are very prevalent and growing.
How so?
How so? They're already teaching in some of the northern schools gender studies. To the primary school students.
So basically, gender is what you perceive it to be.
That's the way they're teaching it.
Right, and little kids. I mean, what does a little child understand about gender identity fully? Boys like boys, girls like girls. You don't even understand sexual organs and any of that.
Exactly.
Right, and if a boy likes to play with girls' toys, does that mean he's really a girl on the inside? So you're going to start teaching kids like this.
Yeah.
These kinds of things. All right, tell you what, let's just listen to a longer clip. Again, this is Diane Ehrensaft, a clinical psychologist, a PhD. D. And she's sharing advice on how parents can create a safe and accepting environment in school for, quote, transgender children. Joey, clip number 7. And again, ask yourself, what's the test other than how the child feels? And what are the reality checks? For example, if I'm utterly convinced that I'm a black Viking to the core of my being, does that make me a black Viking? If I'm utterly convinced to the core of my being that I'm a woman or that I'm multiple genders, that I have no gender, does that make it a reality? Again, talking about this with the massive news, and don't think this will not have massive societal implications. Bruce Jenner now coming out as a woman. Clip number 7.
Gender comes in many shapes and sizes, and I'm going to give you just a simple laundry list. It's not exhaustive. There is the transgender child. That is the child who says, I am not the gender that's on my birth certificate. I am the opposite gender. There is the gender fluid child, and that is the child who plays along the dimensions of gender from male to female as we as a culture define that, and is perfectly happy with the gender on the birth certificate, but not with expressing it in binary boxes. Then there are the kids that I call gender hybrids. They will tell me, you know what, I'm half boy, I'm half girl. Now, these are children who may be on their way to being transgender, but for the time being, they see themselves as somewhat of a hybrid. Then there are older youth who call themselves genderqueer. And they say to us, why are you hung up with any of these categories? Why have to define gender at all? I'm just all genders.
All right, so pretty extreme quote here. I'm just all genders. I want to say something very, very practical and edifying. Paul, over the years, as I'm sitting here with Paul Schaefer from Christ is the Answer, Cristo la Risposta, missionaries on the field for over 40 years now. In the decades of ministry, you've seen people come to faith, men that had were with hormones, men who had breasts, female hormones, men that were transvestite prostitutes and had sex change surgery, things like that. What have you seen with your own eyes in terms of what Jesus has done for them? You can verify over a period of years.
I can verify over a period of years, and that they're continuing, that people that came to us in that, living in that condition, once they began to really believe the gospel and know Jesus, turn their life over to him, they lived a real transformation. They rediscovered their sexual identity as it was biologically, and they lived it out. Most of them, if I'm not mistaken, almost all of them got married, have children, are living with their family, raised their children, and have had no problems living out the true reality, sexual identity.
And you're talking about over a period of many, many years.
Over 40 years.
What about the one gentleman whose name starts with a G?
Yeah.
That was a transvestite prostitute when one of the sisters on the team shared the gospel with him and realized this is actually a man.
Yeah, he's exactly. He's still going on. He lives in Naples. He's working with the church, and he's reaching out to help a lot of other people in that city.
And your team is taking in everybody.
We took them all in. At one point of time, we had to create, in our famous shower truck,
yeah,
with a time for males and a time for females, we had to, for a period of time, create a time for the others.
Yeah, I was there because the person, physically, because of sex change, exactly, hormones, was part male, part female, yeah, outwardly, yeah, and you had to make them go when they were comfortable and others were comfortable.
Exactly, precisely. So we gave them a time so they would be comfortable and wouldn't nobody else would be.
And you just loved them.
And loved them, just loved them.
Just loved them, and the folks now that came out of that, they reach out with great compassion.
Exactly.
Quick question. The Hyper Grace book, is that important here in Italy?
It's getting more and more important because it's meeting a real need. And I just discovered today there are articles that were written in 2003 by people that already expressed the fundamental beliefs of the Hyper Grace teaching.
All right, friends, take advantage of today's special offer. My Hyper Grace book and my Authentic Fire book at a great price. You can get them and get these into the hands of others. Go to my website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Click on the video for more info.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire. I'm coming away live from Calabria, Italy. We've got a special broadcast tomorrow, I believe, will bless you as we open up what the Bible really says about the Holy Spirit's ministry bringing conviction of sin, the life-giving, life-transforming, grace-empowered ministry of the Holy Spirit, and often the difference between life and death. 866-34-TRUTH. I'm sitting here with a friend of decades, Paul Schaefer, and as long as I've known Paul, it's been the same spirit, same enthusiasm, same attention to detail, same servant heart, same pastoral heart. And I envy the reward that he and his wife and others are going to get in heaven as they stored up all their treasure there. They certainly have. They don't have anything to rust down here. Paul, what are your memories of our first time together in Italy back in 1987?
Well, it was fantastic, Mike. You and Nancy arrived. We were living, we had the use of the stadium in a very luxurious tourist area. We were right by the beach, beautiful Mediterranean beach. We were right underneath the famous city of Taormina, just 50 kilometers away from the mountain Etna, live volcanic mountain. And Mike and Nancy arrived in the morning, started teaching, taught three times the first day, the second day, and the third day, nine meetings in 3 days. They never went to the sea. They never went to Taormina. They didn't go and see anything, any of the sites. They just dedicated to preaching, teaching, praying for people, and praying for us all as a ministry. And 22 people at that time, mostly young people, were baptized in the Holy Spirit. One was the Assemblies of God pastor's daughter. And then Mike and Nancy, with a bag of goodies and chocolate bars, got on the train and left overnight to go back to Rome.
Yeah, and by the way, those train rides, we remember them as kind of being like in a coffin in hell. I remember that it was unbelievably hot, and the guy was trying to be smart with the budget that was traveling with us, so he put us in a non-air-conditioned car. And something about Italians, they don't like catching a draft or something. Yeah. So with the train moving, they wanted the windows closed. And then you go to sleep. And I remember in my head, you put the seats down. So now that it's like bunks across, three each. So you got these three coffins. And I remember my head touched one side, my feet touched the other. And one guy took his shoes off and his feet were a little smelly, to say the least. And windows closed, and he kept wanting it closed. We tried to open it. Finally, when he fell asleep, I was able to open the window with my toe. And then suddenly, time stood still, no air. And we didn't know what was happening. They were putting the train on the ferry.
Exactly.
To go over the water. Why don't they just build a bridge?
Well, they've tried for about, I don't know, 50 or 60 years. But the public opinion is that the mafia doesn't want the bridge built. That's what people feel. Because as far as all the technical aspects, the bridge could be built, and the Japanese offered all the money to do it.
Because it's just like a 20-minute ride.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's about 3.5 kilometers across.
Oh, so that's like, what, 2 miles?
Exactly.
Right, that's nothing for a bridge.
No, nothing at all.
Right, but
there's a strong current there.
Yeah, but you make more money, apparently, with the ferry.
Obviously.
So you put the train on the ferry, car at a time.
One car at a time, exactly.
Right. So yeah. I remember we went there all night and then did the three meetings a day. But that's when our hearts really joined with you, because I remember thinking, okay, you guys probably been here like 6 month mission trip, like Youth with a Mission people. And we started talking, how long you been? Oh, 6 years. 6 years. You lived in that tent for 6 years. Now you're married with a kid. Yeah, 6 years. How long have you been with the team? Oh, 8 years. Eight years? 10 years? And that was the early days. That was like the sprinting time. And you were the young guys under the tent. And God's faithfully been with you these many years. What do you do, Paul, during the many difficult times when human beings, if I were in your shoes, get discouraged?
Well, we turn to the Lord, ask Him to encourage us and bring all our needs before Him, bring out all the problems. We do encourage one another too.
Yeah.
So we can pray together.
Tell you what, let's pick that up when we come back, and then think of a story or two of amazing, surprising, divine provision.
Yeah.
I want to encourage our listeners, talking with Paul Schaefer live from Calabria, Italy.
fire we
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Boy, I've had a precious time ministering to folks. I'll tell you more about it tomorrow. Just the lasting fruit, because we've been to Italy since 1987, and it's the 22nd trip here. And Paul, you've been here through the years. This is a little uncomfortable for me to say this, but I want to encourage our listeners, because they hear me on the radio, and by God's grace, we serve folks on the radio every day, 5 days a week, 2 hours a day, and then write articles and things and books. But I've had the privilege of ministering overseas about 150 different trips over the years. In fact, I computed, Paul, that I've spent 3 years of my life jet-lagged, but roughly speaking. But anyway, We've been able to have an impact through the books, through the visits. You've been here, and you're a no-hype kind of guy. You've told me straight about Americans coming over, some who do good and some who don't. But in your view, and this is to the glory of God, and it's the power of the gospel. It's not to Mike Brown's credit. It's nothing I've done any good. It's to the glory of the Lord's name. But so folks know that we're not just traveling to spin our wheels, and we're certainly not traveling for money, because it's a financial loss to make the trip over and to minister and to do what we do. But have you seen fruit? Can you genuinely say that? Or is it just a matter of, well, nice that you came and you encouraged the team, but that's about it?
No, definitely, Mike. Your visits right from the very first time have been very important for us and for the entire church here in Italy. I don't know how much time to go, but just to explain quickly to the believers, the church in Italy, it wasn't that the evangelical church in Italy had replacement theology as a key point in their theological system. They were really not committed anyway, and they didn't really go in depth in the issue. Then Mike came over and ministered, and he opened our eyes through his book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, and gave us an understanding of how the Jewish people have been treated throughout history by the Christian church in different nations, different denominations, different times. We didn't know that. We hadn't delved into it. Then he also opened our eyes to see through the prophecies in the Old Testament and in the New Testament the role of the people of Israel right through to the end times. So that message got out to the entire church of Italy, and the whole church in Italy has had to reconsider that whole eschatological position.
Seriously?
Seriously. No, seriously. It's changed. And from that, a whole series of things have come about now. And I've had born-again Jewish, Messianic Jewish people here that said it was the only European country where they still felt safe here in Italy.
Really?
Yeah. They said they felt threatened in every other European country.
Yeah, I guess when you shared some of that, it was in Italian. So this is the first I'm really hearing that.
So, yeah. So...
Wow.
So what it is, and there's still that leaning in that direction. But, of course, I must give a little hint here that the Italian nation depends on petroleum from the Arabic nation.
So things could shift.
Things can shift quickly.
We're sitting next to a brother, as he's listening, doesn't understand that much English. But he and his wife, and I'll mention this a bit more tomorrow, because I was blessed to see young people that are part of his church now. But years ago, they go to pretty much every meeting where I was in Italy. They show up in different parts of the nation. And taller couple, you know, I'd recognize them in the meetings. And we had an outpouring. You were there 3 days, morning, afternoon, evening, in the city of Falerna, little kind of out-of-the-way place, May of 1998, the most dramatic outpouring I've ever seen in Italy and all the trips there, and one of the most dramatic just outbursts in a short period of time I've ever seen any time in my life. What happened to this couple when they were there?
Well, they were really overwhelmed by the power of the Lord. The Lord really worked in their lives, and it fed into them the desire to really serve, to the point where they have been faithfully serving in a church and an outreach throughout the whole region. Calabria is a region, the whole toe of the nation of Italy, of the boot. And now the brother was to the point of ordination in one denomination, but he felt the Lord leading him in a different way. They blessed him, and now he started a youth work in another part of the region, and it's just exploding.
Yeah, and again, saw some of those young people. I'll mention this again tomorrow, but saw some of those young people in the meetings, and they were hungry and serious. All right, Paul, this is one of those things where you'd have to pick out of hundreds of examples of God's provision, because the fact that you guys are still there on the field is because God provided.
Yeah.
As your friend Clark, who was the main leader of the team and part of the leadership team, you've served as his right-hand man for decades. But he used to say, hey, God could shut us down anytime because we have no support system.
Exactly.
He doesn't supply. I give an example or two of some of the most shocking, surprising, supernatural examples of divine provision for the missions team.
Well, one is because our ministry has been, in the past at least, centered around a big tent, like a big circus tent, which we had. The first one was sent over from the States by the 700 Club and by the Full Gospel Businessmen. They bought it and shipped it over to Sweden. We used it in Sweden, then in Finland and Holland, and then moved it into Italy. In 1977, a tremendous windstorm came through just at the end of a meeting and totally ripped up the tent, destroyed it.
Mm.
We put it back together in several weeks of work, sewing it all together. We used it for 6 months. Out of the blue, first, a guy came in to where we were living in tents, and he called Clark, the team leader, took him in a tent, and literally emptied all of his pockets, everything he had, all the money, and gave it to him as a down payment for a new tent.
Mm.
Then a tent maker, well-known tent maker in North Italy, saw the article in the newspaper and came down and offered to make us a new tent. We didn't have to pay it up front.
This is conceit like 2,000-3,000 people.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's massive.
A massive tent, a big expense.
And how many days to set up and take down?
Oh, well, it took 8 hours of constant work just to set it up and then get it ready for the meetings. Took another 2 days.
Right.
Yeah, so he made the tent, gave it to us, and let us pay it as we could. No contract, no deadlines.
Mm.
Okay, then in 2005, the tent that you inaugurated, that now is in Turkey,
yeah,
for the Kurdish refugees, a brother died in Canada, and I just got a message that he had left in his will $58,000 Canadian dollars to pay for a tent.
Are you serious?
And I went over, and I met the widow, his widow. She gave me the check with his son. And I came back, and with that, we paid most of that tent, which then was used 10 years in Italy and now is in Turkey for Kurdish refugees.
Now, didn't you have times when, in order to move from one location to another, because you've got the whole team, it could be 100 people, men, women, children, you've got the tents, you've got the buses, you've got the little trailers, you've got all the tent and all of this, and the fuel, very expensive in Europe.
Italy.
So in order to make the move, you may not have had any money for food.
Exactly.
You had to spend all the money on gas.
Exactly.
Did that happen sometimes for a day or two? Or?
It happened for a few days and would cover other expenses. In other words, none of the essential expenses that would make the move possible could be put off. Every other expense was put off.
Got it. And so how did God provide?
Well, people would bring food out to us, and sometimes we just ate very simple food. I mean, actually, it was very healthy.
Uh-huh.
You could buy lentils very cheaply, and then we just eat lentils. Or sometimes people brought out anything they could, you know, anything that they grew in their gardens or whatever. But we never went without a meal any day of any of those years other than the days we chose to fast.
Wow. I remember Clark saying that someone just pulled up one day with like bundles of pasta. They had no idea there
exactly
was any, those kinds of things,
yeah,
happening.
And another guy pulled up in one city, unloaded out of his car a whole bunch of bread and other food products for us, drove away, and afterwards they let us know that he was one of the key people in the crime syndicate in that city.
Seriously.
We didn't know him from the man on the moon, and he brought all this food in.
For the missionaries.
For the missionaries.
Wow. And was there a story, I don't know if you told me or Clark, that you're trying to get permission to be in a certain location or something like that, and what, I don't know if it was in France or someone, but one of your guys got on the train who was going to try to go and meet with some official or something, and on the way, sitting next to a gal on the train, starts talking about what they do, and the gal's father is the exact guy that they needed to meet, something like that.
Yeah, that I don't remember all those details, but yeah, that's happened actually several times, that the Lord has put the right person in the right place at the right time to help us make what was otherwise impossible to do.
You know, I remember that the team leaders would come in and once a year have meetings in D.C. And one time Clark was trying to get permission to put the big tent up in the mall in D.C. and, you know, sharing the gospel with different people. And a guy comes up to him, like, distinguished looking guy, Clark didn't know what he was, who he was. What are you doing? And told them, we want to preach the gospel. Here, see here, just go to this address, tell them I sent so on, and just go in there and they'll give it to you. Clark has no idea who it is. It was Hubert Humphrey, who is the former vice president of the United States.
Exactly.
It literally happened.
Exactly. Literally happened. And the most incredible thing is Clark is an American citizen. He didn't recognize him.
Right. Because he's been in Italy so long.
Exactly.
Just not even watching that stuff. So, I mean, this is the type of stuff you've seen decade after decade after decade, the faithfulness of God. And you've given yourself to be fishers of men. Do you think there's a higher calling?
I don't believe there's any higher calling. And my deep down belief is that God so loves the world that he'll do this through people like us.
Yeah. Friends, it's God's heart. Why not just say, Lord, use me. Wherever you live, your soul's around. You can be a witness. Share your testimony. See what God does when you open up the door.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. Sitting here with Paul Schaefer, been on the mission field for many, many years. And Paul, at the height of the Christ is the Answer ministry, the fruit of it will remain for generations until Jesus returns. But how many teams were there in different parts of the world?
There were 12 teams in 10 different nations, and we're still 10 teams in 9 nations.
10 teams in which countries?
So we're in Italy, Spain, the Ukraine, Romania, Moldavia, India, the Philippine Islands, Honduras, and Mexico.
And what kind of work is going on with these teams around the world?
Around the world, we're all doing the same thing, basically reaching out to the whole nation with the churches that are there evangelize, with the goal that every person alive can hear a good presentation of the gospel. Those that believe, we try to bring them, disciple them, prepare them to be able to walk with their own legs following Jesus, be in the body of Christ, but also learn that they're called to serve.
Mm. What's happening now with the Muslims in Europe? What have you seen with your own eyes?
Well, the Muslims in Europe are definitely becoming more radicalized. And so the whole myth of moderate and radical difference, the difference between moderate and Muslims and radical, that's changing. On the other hand, there's a growth of those that are believing in the gospel and developing churches in different parts, both of Italy, but all over Europe. So the 16 million Muslims that now live in Europe, this is actually the great opportunity. I think finally the church is starting to really focus on that.
And you actually used your tent recently maybe a couple years back, maybe it's been more often, for a special meeting or meetings for Muslims who've come to Jesus, and some of them heavily persecuted and even beaten, and death threats and crazy miraculous conversions. You're a down-to-earth guy, Paul. You've seen God's miracles. You've seen him do impossible things for decades on the field. But you're not impressed with hype. You're not impressed with all the big reports and the big American superstars come over here. It means nothing to you. Do you believe these stories you're hearing about these radical Muslim conversions?
Oh, I believe definitely. I've actually talked with several of them, met them personally, know them personally, and actually following them in different parts of the world where they're actually going forth. And it's incredible the way the Lord is revealing himself through dreams, visions, through God-ordained encounters, through circumstances that can only be interpreted as being totally guided by God. And that he's doing because God's heart of love and his compassion for them is just like for everybody else. And the Lord is reaching out to them. And I also know the incredible work, for example, that's going on in Iran, where there's at least a half a million believers, most of them in small groups, small groups of 3 to 5 people with only one of them somewhat prepared in the scriptures and knows somebody else in another group, so that when they're caught, if they're caught and persecuted, they're not going to be able to give the names and addresses of other people. And that's spreading out throughout the whole nation, and the church is exploding.
Yeah, and again, friends, Paul knows top missiologists. He knows people on the front lines. He knows pretty much everybody that's doing just about anything in Europe and these different parts of the world. So, I mean, this is accurate stuff. I've heard it over and over and over and over again, what's happening in the Muslim world. And these Muslims, especially those that were on the front lines of radical Islam, some were Taliban, some were Palestinian terrorists and things like that. Jesus has appeared to them. They've been miraculously saved. What's their attitude towards persecution and death?
Well, they're certainly not softies. They're willing to go for it, and they're willing to risk their lives, and they're willing to reach out to their people, whatever it costs. And I've seen it over and over again. I know several that are willing to go, and I mean, it's, how can I say it? It's almost shameful that none of us will follow with them and help them out, you know, because they go and they're walking really in constant risk of being killed.
Clark was telling about one guy, when he came, his face was kind of disfigured. He had just been beaten. He was just going back to preach.
Exactly, going back to preach. They tried to knife other ones. They've continually sought to kill some of the key people that are teaching and forming disciples. They're constantly getting death threats.
And what's happening, say, with Muslim refugees in Greece?
Well, that there, we have developed a program with other ministries reaching out to them in Athens, in Patros, and in Corinth, and also in the prison system, because most of them, the refugees are there, are illegally there, and the Greek authorities quite often put them in prison. So we have people reaching out in the preach, and we've started up 2 places in the city of Athens, giving them food, clothing, a place to wash up, clean their clothes, language classes, and teaching them the scriptures, opening up to them, taking care of the women and children. Many times the women and children are there. The men, they don't even know where they're at, or they were killed, or they're not sure where they're at. And there's a lot of tragic stories that are involved there.
Yeah.
That people have been persecuted, people have been seriously beaten and damned, their bodies have been hurt. But they're going on. They're going on, and they're reaching out. We ask everybody to pray for that, because that's a very tough work, and the need is incredibly great.
Yeah, friends, this is real deal stuff here, front lines. And it's so amazing, as I was talking to your colleague Clark, he said years and years and years of outreach, witnessing to Muslims, almost no fruit. Yeah. And now converted Muslims are using your tent for special meetings.
Yeah, exactly. They're in Turkey. And I mean, that's just amazing. Back in 1976, when we sent our first teams from Italy across land to Pakistan and India, they went through Afghanistan. In that time, there were no evangelical believers in Afghanistan. Now there's church of several tens of thousands in Afghanistan. I mean, it's incredible.
Really? So basically underground?
Underground churches. Well, some of them are above ground also.
Yeah.
I myself, just on the other side of the border in Pakistan, helped missionaries set up a Bible school to prepare Muslim, ex-Muslim believers to reach out to the Baluchi people in the southern part of Pakistan.
Afghanistan.
In Afghanistan.
The land of the Taliban.
Not the Taliban. We were surrounded by Taliban fighters that had fled. There was about 1 million of them, and we were in the middle of this city in a building setting up a Bible school.
Did you ever think something might happen to you?
Definitely. I felt it all the time.
But you went anyway.
We went anyway. But what's incredible is it's still going on. And the pastor that's there, even though his life has been threatened, is still going on. He's moved his family there, his daughter there, to help run the Bible school. And he's a successful Assemblies of God pastor in Karachi with a church of over 1,200 people.
In Pakistan.
In Pakistan.
Friends, this is some of the spirit of faith and courage we need to be infused with, and it's some of what fuels my fire. I was just asked today, changing subjects for a moment here, about the possibility of coming back to Sicily to do a national conference for all the interested pastors in Sicily on the issue of hypergrace. I was asked, could I come back to the Calabria region and do something for the pastors in that area? Around the world, friends, we're being asked to address this. And there's nowhere where it's needed more than in America, my home country. Take advantage of this week's special offer, but may I make an appeal to you? If you can, help us with an additional gift. We really get stretched when we go overseas, and this was an extended trip. If you can help with an additional gift, 100% of it will go to help with our radio broadcast. The Hypergrace book, Exposing the Dangers of the Modern Grace Message, I believe it'll give you a greater appreciation of grace than you've ever had. Along with that, the Authentic Fire book, Response to Pastor John MacArthur, will build you up in what the Word says about the Spirit. go to my website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, or call 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, Jesus is moving mightily around the earth. Don't be discouraged. He's King. He's Lord. Lift your head and share the truth.